الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل الله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن العزيز والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم My dear respected brothers and elders Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us all Muslims and has given us the wealth of kalima tayyiba la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is such a great ni'mah that when a person accepts this kalima and proclaim this kalima, then his fortune completely changes. His situation completely changes. His status completely changes. Before a person accepts this kalima, then he is a person who is entitled of the fire of Jahannam. But after accepting this kalima, he is then entitled Jannat and the paradise. Before accepting this kalima, he was deprived of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after accepting this kalima, he gets a stake in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before he accepts, a person accepts this kalima, he is the most disliked in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after accepting this kalima, he is the most liked out of all his creation. So a man's status, his fortune, his destination, everything changes. And it is this kalima that bonds us all. It is this kalima that makes such a connection which no one can destroy. It is a connection which will always stay even until Qiyamah. Any other connection and many connections that we have can be weakened or may even change. But this connection of being a Muslim and being the follower of Islam and being subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this connection can never be destroyed. Can never be destroyed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this kalima tayyiba la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and by giving us that, he has given us a status which we will only understand and appreciate once we leave this world. And it is because of this kalima la ilaha illallah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates the status of a person and he makes them equal to each other. He makes them equal to each other. The Quran says, all these tribes and languages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is لِتَعَارَفُ, so that you are able to understand each other, you are able to distinguish each other, you are able to recognize each other. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created different colors. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created different sex, or should I say different languages and different cultures in terms of where they live. All this has been created. Why? So that we are able to distinguish each other. We are able to find out that this Abdul Hannan is from Bangladesh. He's not from Pakistan. So when we call, yes, Abdul Hannan Bengali, or Abdul Hannan Pakistani, or Abdul Hannan Saudi, or Abdul Hannan Misri. The reason why is that so we know that this Abdul Hannan is from such and such a person. Not because he is more superior over that person. Why? He is because he is a Bengali, or because he is a Saudi, or because he is a Misri, or because he is a Pakistani, or because he is English. No. This is not the reason why they have been aligned with such attributes, so that they can be categorized of a superior nation or superior group. No. It's so that لِتَعَارَفُ, that you are able to distinguish. Muhammad, you have thousands of Muhammad. You have thousands of millions of Muhammad. Which Muhammad is this? Muhammad Yusuf. Which Muhammad Yusuf? Then you say his father's name. Then which? Then you say from Misr. So these are all why? So that you are very easily recognized. لِتَعَارَفُ. Not so that you can proclaim that you to be better than that person. Once Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Ghazwa Khaybar, in the expedition which took place in Khaybar. Khaybar is a place where the Yahudis and the Jews had a big fortress there. So the Muslims surrounded that fortress, did muhasara, surrounded that. Many days had gone past, they were yet not able to conquer this fortress. Once, one of the Jews that were living in that fortress sent one of his shepherds out with the animals, with the goats, to go and rear them in the fields so that they can be fed. So this shepherd left the fortress, this castle, and took the animals of the Jew so that it can be reared and it could be grazed in the land. He happened to be a black slave who was owned by this Jew. So he came out with the Jew's animals, and when he came out, he was aware that the Muslims were surrounding the castle. Also, he heard that this army has a leader, and he is the leader of Yathrib, the leader of Medina, and he is the king. So he was very inquisitive. He wanted to know how this king led his life. How is he? What was his status? What kind of pomp and show he had with him? So as he went along with the animals to graze, he asked the Muslim that were there, said, "Where is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I heard he's your leader, he's the leader of Medina, and I want to see him." The Sahabas pointed to one direction, to one khaymah and tent. Said, he's in that tent there. And he's residing in that tent. You may go and see him. As he looked towards the tent, he saw that this tent was very simple. It did not have any bodyguards or anything. It looked similar to every other tent. It wasn't like the tent that, you know, I don't know if you've seen the tent of the Libya's Gaddafi had. He had such a tent that you could tell it was a 5-star from very far away, you know. No, this was a tent out of many tents. Exactly similar of the tents of the Muslim tents. So he was surprised. No bodyguard, no anybody there. Obviously at that time they didn't have machine guns, they probably had swords. So they wasn't there with people's swords, weren't there. And you know, so who can come dare come here? You know, nothing like that. Very looked normal. So he went to that tent. And when he went inside, what did he see? He saw Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sitting there. A normal person, but such radiant, but no pomp, nothing to show, no expensive carpets, nothing that was something of different from anybody else's. Everything looked similar as the other Muslim tent. And he said, are you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, yes, I am Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, why have you come here? He said, we have come to preach the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give da'wah of the fact that Allah is one and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. He said, so if a person accepts that, what will happen? He said, if anybody accepts this, then he will be given Jannah, paradise, and he will be saved from the fire of hell, and he will become equal to every single Muslim that are here. So even like me, a person like me, a black slave, a shepherd, if I become a Muslim, would I become equal to you? He says, yes. You will become equal to all these Muslims. And not only that, I myself will come and congratulate you and would hug you. So you, the leader of the Muslim, it was beyond his imagination that a leader of a clan or of a community would, at that time, obviously that was unimaginable. This is a slave. This is not a normal person. This was the lowest of the lowest of those. To them, that was the lowest. And here, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that if you become a Muslim, I would grab you and hug you. He could not believe that. It's really? He says, yes. And not only that, I will get all the Muslims to hug you. You will become equal to everybody. Then he says, then bear witness that I proclaim that days, I testify, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Then he accepted Shahada. He said, oh Rasulullah, what is my job now? What is my duty? He says, look, now the time of Salah is not there. So there's no point me starting teaching you about Salah now. At that time, Hajj did not become farz, nor was it the month of Ramadan. So the only thing that you can do now is participate in the work that we are doing, which is jihad fi sabilillah. He says, if I participate in jihad, then there's two outcomes. Either we will win, or should I will win, or I will become a martyr. And if I become a martyr, what will happen to me? He says, if you become a martyr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change your situation that you will enter to the highest rank and the highest status in Jannah, which is Jannatul Firdaus. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would change the clothes that you are wearing, those smelly clothes, into the clothes of Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change your look from the black looking person to the most handsome, beautiful person in Jannah. Says, really? Says, yes. And then he went and participated in jihad. After 3 or 4 days, when victory was given to the Muslims and the castle was taken over, all the people, all the Muslims started to collect all the bodies, all the shaheed, the shuhadas, so that they can be buried. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to also participate in this amal. He saw some sahabas gathering to a certain body and they were discussing within themselves. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went closer and he heard that they were saying, who is this body? We don't recognize him. Remember, this sahabi that came out, he came out as a non-Muslim, as a black slave. And when he left the tent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left as a Muslim. And nobody knew that he was a Muslim apart from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he participated in jihad and he gave his life for the cause of deen in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nobody was able to recognize, because he wasn't an Arab, he was a black person who was a slave at that time. So nobody recognized, who is this person? And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went closer and saw it was that same sahabi who had accepted Islam on his hands. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how beautiful that this person never read one salah, that this person never did one ibadah, he never kept one fast, never kept one salah, anything. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the highest status in Jannah, in Jannat al-Firdaus. I am seeing myself. So this is a person, after accepting Islam, look what his status had become. So this is the kalima tayyiba, la ilaha illallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me and you. When a person accepts this kalima and is true to this kalima, then he becomes of the highest of the highest. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares in the Quran that amongst you the best and the highest and the most status is that person who has the most taqwa in himself. This is why the Quran says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. O you who believe, have taqwa, and the sign of taqwa and the yardstick of taqwa, what is that? Is being amongst those who are truthful. Wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Being truthful. Truthful in what? The Quran does not mention anything, doesn't attach any condition to that. Truthful in your words, truthful in your deeds, truthful in your manner, truthful in your sayings. No. Wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Be amongst the truthful. Meaning Muslims should be such that in every aspect they are truthful. No matter what they do, they will always be truthful. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught that from day one, even to this sahabi who had accepted Islam. Remember, when he came out with the goats of the Yahudis. What did he say? He says, first, go and give back these dog goats. Because this person who gave you the goats, he gave it to you as an amana, so that you go and work and do what you are supposed to do with these goats. He didn't give it to you so that you can take it. Although Prophet ﷺ, within his rights, could have captured those goats and make it the wealth and the mala ghanimat of the Muslims. But no, he told that Sahabi who had become Muslim, go and give those goats back. So that you stay amongst the truthful. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. That we become truthful in every aspect of our life. No matter what we are doing, we become truthful. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, in the time of his khilafah, his army was at the borders of the land of the enemy. Now, at that time, they had a treaty with those enemies that some for so much such and such a time they will not fight each other. But also, even after the treaty has finished, if a Muslim wants to attack another country, they would have to let them know, remind them that our treaty has finished now. Our treaty has finished. But the Muslim army forgot. They thought, now our treaty, the time of the treaty has elapsed, it's finished. And within one day, they had conquered majority of the land. They went with the speed of lightning and took over most of the land. But when another Sahabi, when he heard that, he came running. La ghadar fil Islam. We do not attack without notification. We do not give any sort of misconception. We do not attack with the people thinking that they still have treaty. When Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard the proclamation of the Sahabi, and the Sahabi told him the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, straight away he told the Muslim army, give back all their lands. Give it back straight away. Because what we did was wrong. This is what the Sahaba did. Straight away they gave back everything and left the land. Why? Because there is no deception. Muslims are true to what they say. They do not deceive others. Although it is a saying, Al-Harbu Khida' Al-Harbu Khida', that a war is all about deception. As you see, we see all these modern wars, all about deception. The more you can deceive, the advantage you have over the enemy. But Muslim, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Always truth in what they do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst us those people.